Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Hope everybody had a great Memorial Day weekend. Joe Rex Road back on the program this morning after stifling me with Kuharski the last 3 days of last week. Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing okay. Yeah. So did Kuharski wear on you? Did he get a little?
He's good. Okay. I think he was legitimately upset by the, but certainly game one of the Knicks. Like, if he walked in the next day, it felt like somebody punched him in the gut. Like, he was really upset about the Knicks when he had not really cared about him to that point. But he was all in after that first game.
Good. I'm glad to hear that he got some misery out of that. Unfortunately, they kept their stuff alive barely the other day. But hopefully, he can suffer through that loss coming up. Real quick, I just want to shout out, while I was gone, got a kid graduated.
So yes.
Good job, Brennan. Congratulations to the Knights who graduated, and also to Raptor Rugby. We took third in the nation. Couple big wins. The team that beat us was ridiculous. Some team from California, they end up winning it all like by a big margin. But third place game won that, so successful weekend.
Very nice. Third in the nation on the rugby front. And a graduate. That's a successful weekend. That's a busy weekend for the Rex Road household. So good stuff there on that front. We got a lot to get into on the program here today. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 8 o'clock. We're going to get into Vanderbilt in Tennessee, another edition of that rivalry on the baseball diamond this weekend. We'll get to the draws and the regional for both Vanderbilt and Tennessee throughout the program today. As well, we've got some Titans love that was shown over the weekend to get into a little bit later in the program as well. And, of course, we'll take your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, before we get into the baseball part of this, I do want to get your thoughts on where things stand in the conference finals in both the NBA and the NHL. Oklahoma City gets a win last night, so they're up 3-1 in that series, going back home for Game 5. Indiana up 2-1 in the Eastern Conference Final in a series where the home team has not won a game yet. So we'll see if Indiana can change that tonight as they head into Game 4. On the NHL side of things, it looked like Florida was going to pull off a sweep. Carolina puts together a win yesterday, which I think is probably delaying the inevitable, but we'll see what happens on that front. And Edmonton with back-to-back wins over the weekend against Dallas to go up 2-1. In that series. So what do you make of where things stand in the conference finals in the NBA and the NHL, and what is the most intriguing series to you?
Yeah, well, it's not Florida, Carolina, although, you know, kudos to the Canes, but I think that's going to be a gentleman's sweep, which is what they call a five-game win, I guess. Stars Oilers is I think that's got potential to be special. And man, you have to be so impressed with what the Oilers are doing right now. I think it's over between the OKC and the T-Wolves. I was just so impressed with OKC last night and how they just answered every single thing. You know, it wasn't a great night for Ant-Man or for Randall, but they still, everybody else went nuts. And I just, man, I mean, Jalen Williams, along with Holmgren and then SGA, the MVP, and he should have been the MVP. That's one heck of a trio. And I think Knicks Pacers has been amazing, you know? So, I mean, Knicks Pacers or Oilers Stars, I mean, those two series are, you know, potentially great, but I feel like Indiana's going to make it 3-1. And it's going to, you know, and they're going to end up winning the series. But the games have been ridiculous.
Yeah, no doubt. And the games have been awesome in that series. It's pretty incredible what McDavid and the Oilers are doing. Like, and I watched the entire game the other day, and they just feel like, I don't know. I think, you know, on a mission probably gets used too much, but they kind of feel like they are just, they've been through it before. They're revved up, and it feels like they're going to win. Like, I still think Dallas, when they're firing, is the best overall team in the Western Conference. Number one, they're not firing right now. Like, they've had a lot of guys go cold. The Roope Hintz injury is huge. Like, if he can't play, that's a big deal. He gets slashed in game two. He wasn't able to play in game three. He had to move Granlund to center. And as Predators fans know, like, I like Granlund. Granlund is probably better served on a good team on the wing and not playing down the middle, and they've had to move him back to center. So, the Hintz loss is a big deal for them. But, like McDavid the other day, he was just, I mean, he's just lights out. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, they broke the plays. Like, PK Subban did a good job of kind of breaking down some of the plays that he was able to make out there and how it takes basically just one slight minor mistake and he's just going to make you pay for it. Like, Dallas was down 2-0. They allowed 2 goals in 36 seconds in the first period. And McDavid was one of them, obviously. They played great. Like, Dallas was awesome in the second period. They finally get it to 2-1. And then at the end, they give McDavid about, I don't know, a body's length worth of room. And he takes the puck and he just makes you pay. And you're all of a sudden, like, after all that work you've done to chip away and make it a one-goal game heading into the third, McDavid basically just grabs you by the throat and chokes you. And you're done. So, like, I don't know how they're going to slow him and Draisaitl down. Like, those two are just unbelievable right now.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like maybe this is their year. Although they're going to have to beat the Panthers,
Yeah, it looks like
and
we're headed for a rematch.
and of course that's not going to be easy. But maybe this is enough to keep him at Edmonton, huh? Is this enough? Would they win the cup? Will he be all
Might
right hanging
be.
around?
I know
I
the rest
mean.
of the NHL is looking at it like, please blow it. Please blow it.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be a heck of a lot of fun if, for some reason, he was out there. But yeah, I think the destiny might be a cup for Edmonton this year.
Yep, we'll see how it goes, but I think we're definitely trending towards the rematch of the Stanley Cup final, which, again, like going from Edmonton, Alberta to Sunrise, Florida, and the travel involved with that, I'm sure
Oh.
is going to be a lot of fun for them. They went the distance last year, 7 games, and who knows, could go 7 again this year, Joe. That's a lot of flying.
I mean, weren't there like some reporters who had to like have like three connections and then they barely made
Oh, yeah.
like puck drop? I mean, oh God, they almost need to just adjust, just have a pre-adjusted schedule if that's the matchup and just add days in
I
there.
agree. Just, like, just treat it as if you're traveling by like horse carriage. We'll see you guys in a week. Really far
I
away.
mean, do you remember the mileage? I
I
know we talked
don't,
like last
but
year we could
it's an
or
absurd number. I remember that.
yeah.
It's an absurd number. It's crazy. I think Oklahoma City's going to win. I think they're the best team. We'll see who ends up coming out of the East here. But Oklahoma City, it kind of feels like this is their year. They were talking on Unsportsmanlike the other day, to which Kuharski took a great offense to this, which I'm with him. They started talking about like Oklahoma City's going to be the next dynasty. It's like, well, let's
Right.
start with one. Like, if they can get the one, then we can start maybe, I guess, that talk. But let's let them get the one first.
Yeah, I definitely think, I get it. Like, I understand looking at their core and saying, geez, man, like Chet Holmgren, like, it's still like a toothpick. Like, he's still getting better. Like, wow, they're going to be ridiculous. So I get it. But yes, I don't think there should really ever be that word used until a team wins a championship. And some people would say, okay, you won one championship. We're talking about a dynasty, but at least now you have started and you
Right.
put the huge foundation down. So, yeah, that's fine. Until you do that, yeah, come on. But I will say, too, I mean, if they lose more than a game the rest of the playoffs, I'll be shocked. Like, they're going to beat whoever they play, probably Indiana, in probably the Pacers in five. They're going to beat them in five. Like, they're just way better.
Tennessee and Vanderbilt face each other again over the weekend in the SEC tournament. The draws are out for the regional for both sides as well. We'll get your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. Very interesting baseball weekend when setting up a very interesting regional, which at least one of these fan bases is pretty upset about the draw. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, Vanderbilt smacks Tennessee over the weekend. They win 10-0 in a run-ruled game on Saturday after seven innings. Just complete domination by Vanderbilt. They get a 3-2 win the next day against Ole Miss to wrap up another SEC tournament championship. And now that the regional brackets are out, Vanderbilt, with their efforts, Joe, has earned the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. So we'll get to that part of it here in just a second. But I want to start just with another win against Tennessee. So that's a recent turn back to Vanderbilt in the rivalry here. Tennessee owned Vanderbilt for a couple of years, and Vanderbilt has done a really nice job over basically the last calendar year, starting with the, you know, the beginning of the SEC tournament last year, and then flipping it around, winning the series this year, and then a dominant performance in the SEC tournament in the semifinal on Saturday against Tennessee. So what do you make of Vanderbilt, the way they're playing, and the recent turnaround that they've had of kind of turning the tables on Tennessee lately?
It's just, well, yeah, it's really, for one thing, just fantastic for this rivalry, you know. I mean, think about this just within this season. Tennessee has been number one. I could still make the case, you know, when you consider Liam Doyle and you got Marcus Phillips and some of these guys who are very draftable. Yeah, I mean, Liam Doyle's gonna be a top five pick. You could still make the case Tennessee's as talented as any team out there and still had a great season. They just kept losing all these series late, so it flips. Meanwhile, it's almost like I guess almost like more like the tortoise in the hare. I was gonna say the little engine that could, but Vanderbilt just kind of snuck up on us. Like, if you told me a month ago Vanderbilt's gonna be the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, I would have said, what? How? It doesn't make sense. But they've been, you know, they had their bumps too. I think they were like, I don't know, with 10-9, maybe 11-9 in the SEC. Of course, they've won eight in a row now. They've been great defensively all year. It's the most underrated part of baseball. They are an elite defensive team. They have a bunch of arms, and now they're starting to hit the ball out of the park a little bit. But, you know, they beat Tennessee with 13 singles, you know, and they run, and that's the kryptonite for Tennessee. So this year, it's a bad matchup for Tennessee specifically because Vanderbilt has a bunch of guys who can steal bases, and Tennessee cannot stop anybody from running. So that's part of it. But just the overall, the way that Vanderbilt has sort of just risen and turned into this amazing team with no one who's going to go in the draft this year. I don't, right? So you could look at it and say, you could look at it with a little bit of skepticism and say, okay, but do they have the big time talent to really do this? Because we've had some good Vanderbilt teams recently that just have not, you know, they just haven't gotten it done in the tournament. So we'll see. But right now, they just look like an overall solid, all around, no real weaknesses team. And I still look at Tennessee. And I see a team that absolutely can get to Omaha. So it's a great rivalry, and it's great for the rivalry to have it flip like this. You know, it has to do it needs to go back and forth, and now it's gone back to Vanderbilt.
It has, no doubt about that. And again, they wrap up another SEC tournament championship, the number one overall seed in the NCAA. Now, some Vanderbilt fans are upset about their draw here, Joe, because you've got, you know, obviously Wright State and ETSU, and Louisville is in their regional. So kind of their non-conference rival anyway is Louisville, and right. They've got Louisville as the number two seed in the bracket coming to Nashville for their regional. So there are some Vanderbilt fans that look at that and say, man, we're the number one overall seed. How do we end up with Louisville as the number two seed in our bracket? And are upset about that. I mean, on the other side of things, Tennessee did enough work in the SEC tournament to end up hosting. So there was some question about that heading into the tournament, but they will be hosting, and they are the number 14 seed nationally. They'll have Miami of Ohio, their first game. They got Cincinnati coming in from the Big 12, and then number two seeded Wake Forest. So beginning on the Vanderbilt part of that, Joe, what do you make of their draw and the some Vanderbilt fans upset about the idea of Louisville coming in as the number two seed?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised at all. And I think they've had Louisville at least a couple times, I think, at the regional level over the years, in the Corbin era. And, geographically it makes sense. If you look around the whole field, they definitely – unlike some aspects of college athletics, the baseball tournament actually tries to make sense when it comes to geography. So I'm not surprised by that. It's a tough team, but, that's what you expect. You don't expect it to be easy. I don't think it's like some sort of ridiculous draw or anything like that. As for Tennessee, Wake Forest is really interesting. They are a very talented team, hasn't put it all together, but very dangerous. And then Cincinnati, one of the best running teams in college baseball. So that's another thing to think about if it gets to a Cincinnati-Tennessee matchup at any point is, that as a, again, stylistically, that can be a problem for the Vols. Then, of course, you look ahead, Vanderbilt, potentially, for people who don't know, it's four teams, it's double elimination, the top 16 teams host, and the top eight teams would also – those are the national seeds that would also host super regionals. So Vanderbilt is lined up to possibly play Southern Miss in Nashville in a super. Tennessee lined up to go play Arkansas in super, which, would that be? Again, like, you might be talking about the two most talented teams in college baseball there. So, and of course, it's Tony Vitello's old home and all that. I mean, and Arkansas, their recent history has been totally botching it in the postseason with great teams. So that would be, to me, a fascinating super if it gets to that. But, a lot of work to get to that still.
A lot of work to get to that. The path for Tennessee to make it to Omaha certainly is tougher than Vanderbilt, which obviously it should be when you're talking about the number one overall seed in Vanderbilt. I mean, potentially going on the road for a super and taking on Arkansas could be amazing. But, like you said, Tennessee has a lot of talent, right? I mean, there's a reason that they were the number one team in college baseball for a significant portion of the year. It fell apart on them at the end of the year. And, they actually started swinging the bat well and hitting the ball well in the SEC tournament, obviously until they ran into Vanderbilt. But I'm really – it's like, can they get out of their own regional? That's going to be really interesting to see. That's not a guarantee that they're going to get out of their own regional here.
No, not at all. No, and look, obviously, a lot of these series losses have been at home, so it's not like it's not like they're unbeatable there. I still love the atmosphere for them.
Oh yeah,
and it'll be great, and it should be a hell. Playing in that park should be a hell. And again, having guys like Hunter Ensley, you got guys who have won it all who are on this team, and I have to think that just like the fresh start does them well, for whatever reason. Sometimes it was defensive miscues, not quite getting that timely hitting. They just, they made some mistakes, and they are making some of the same mistakes in some of these losses. Worry a little bit about their defense, but I still think that they have the goods to put it together to really make a run. But you're right. I mean, the Wake Forest is dangerous. And, Wake, of course, they've also been a team that they were the number one overall seed, 2 years ago, and botched it and all that stuff. That's a program that it's kind of waiting for an opportunity to maybe flip it around and surprise people and, win a regional on the road. So it should be really good.
It should be. 615-737-1025.
is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So is Vanderbilt, quote unquote, back? Is their baseball program back? Did they ever leave? What do we make of the Vanderbilt program resurgence at the end of the year here? And what does it mean for Tim Corbin and company moving forward here? We'll get into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
The 0-1. That swung on. There's a fly ball to center field. Here comes Austin. He's going to call everybody off. He makes the catch. 27 outs. Vandy wins it. The Vandy boys are heroes of Hoover. It's the program's fifth SEC tournament championship and the fourth for number four. It's a mob in center field. Oh, 2025. What a year to be black and gold. Final score on a gorgeous SEC Sunday. It's the Doors 3. It's the Revs 2. Vanderbilt is SEC Tournament Championships 2025.
That was a fired up Andrew Allegretta on the call for Vanderbilt when they win the SEC Tournament on Sunday, 3-2 against Ole Miss. So, Joe, it has me asking the question, is Vanderbilt back? Did they ever leave? What do we make of this significance of this accomplishment being the number one overall seed heading into the NCAA tournament? Now, Joe, on the one hand, you're talking about a team that was in the College World Series final in 2021. Wasn't that long ago, right? I mean, it's really, you're talking 4 years. So it really wasn't that long ago. They qualified for 19 straight regionals, which is an SEC record. It's the longest active streak in the country. So on the one hand, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, you may be listening and saying, back? What do you mean back? We never went anywhere. On the other hand, Joe, you can look at it and say, well, they've not gotten out of the regional since then in 2021. They have been a team where you look at what all is going on. We've talked about this with the emergence of Tony Vitello and the Tennessee baseball program, who has been unbelievably successful over the last 4 years. You started to look at Vanderbilt and you said, all right, like is Vanderbilt being surpassed by some of these other teams in the SEC? This stat that Arya Gerson from the Tennessean put together, Joe, is amazing. I talked about, you know, 2021, they were in the College World Series final, and they haven't been out of the regional since then. Well, not getting out of the regional since then, Joe, makes them tied for the second longest super regional drought in the SEC. That's incredible. It's 4 years, and they're the second longest super regional drought in the SEC. It's nuts. So what do you make of the conversation around Vanderbilt? Are they back? Did they ever leave? What's the significance of this accomplishment for Tim Corbin and that program?
Yeah, I think if you're a Vanderbilt fan who's sitting there saying, you know, come on, you know, we never left, I think that's a little bit facetious. I think you know, yes, there is the consistency, and it's very impressive when you think about this program and the streak of being in the tournament. No question about that. And look, it's not like they haven't had good teams recently. I mean, 2 years ago, they won the SEC tournament. I don't know if they beat Tennessee during that one. Last year they did, right?
Yes.
But I don't know about 2 years. But regardless, they won the SEC tournament. They were the number six overall seed. And then, you know, they lose in the Nashville regional, lose to Xavier. You'll go 1-2 in that thing. So, you know, like that was a very good team. I think back, Robbie, to like even like postseason last year. I should have tried to find this story, but I went in and did a – you know, talked to Tim Corbin in his office, and we were talking about, again, what do you talk about with college coaches, especially a program like this, like you could say was as good a college sports program as there was in any sport, like, you know, when they won it all in 2019 at that point, right? Or in 2021, when, like you said, like they get all the way to the final game, lose to Mississippi State. But it was like NIL, the portal, are you hanging in there?
Right.
You know, down the road, this guy, they just won it all, and they are absolutely loaded, and look at it a year later. Pretty amazing, man. So I just think this has been a huge – I mean, it's just been an absolute mic drop year for Tim Corbin, you know. And seriously, some of my questions I think about that last year, like, well – Could you still be like, seriously, I had a question, something to the effect of like, could you still be this model program? All the things you love to do, Tim Corbin, the classroom. I mean, look, man, I don't know of another program where like the former players are so close to the coach and so involved and so, just like thankful for like the experience beyond just winning and losing. But it's like, can you still be that and do that and enjoy your job and just maybe you're not fighting for a national championship? It was a question like that. I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but it was something like that. And I remember he kind of looked at me like, "What, dude? No, shut up." He didn't say that, but it was like, no, the hanging in here to continue to be a championship program along with all the other things we do. Again, it's just the next year, but look at, look at what they've done. They don't have the huge, again, right now, like MLB, guys, baseball beating down the door to get some of these players. They have a lot of good players and they have freshmen. Brody Johnson is the MVP in Hoover. Austin Nye comes out and pitches that game and Hoover does a great job. Rustin Rigdon has been fantastic. So now they join RJ Austin, who last year was the stud freshman coming in, and they just have all of a sudden a whole bunch of good young players on this team, and they just play like a team again. Great defensive baseball. It's such a huge deal. And Jonathan Bastine at shortstop is this tremendous, player. What does he have, two errors this year? They're just such a solid team, and it's such an amazing job of coaching by Corbin and his staff. And the power thing was a huge, that's a thing that I think we probably talked about more than anything. Is the game gone so much to the home run, and maybe has Corbin not adjusted enough, things like that? This still isn't like a super, huge home run hitting team, but Johnston, I mentioned, he's got 13. Holcomb, Vastine, they sprinkle in enough power. And the thing is, this year, it's kind of gone to, I mean, the SEC tournament, and I think we'll see it in Omaha. I mean, you have to be able to win without just relying on the three-run homer. And this team certainly does not just rely on that.
Well, I agree with everything you've said. Now, I'll also say, I think there's significant pressure to get out of your regional and to advance
Yes.
now, right? Like, you're the number
Yes.
one overall seed. Like, to me, when you're the number one overall seed, you better get to Omaha, right? Like, that's kind of how I view it. So, we talked about the drought. At the end of the day, the drought is 4 years at this point, which for this program, I guess, is a long time. But getting out of your regional, step one. But like, you're gonna have, if you do that, the super regional at home as well. Like, you're the number one overall seed. You need to get to Omaha, because I can hear it now, Joe. I agree with everything you've said. If they screw up now and lose in the regional, and they don't get out of their own regional, and like Tennessee gets to the super regional, I mean, all the Vols fans are gonna be like, "Great, take your SEC tournament championship. We'll see. We're gonna go to the super regional, and you guys can watch us at home." Like, there's still significant pressure. It's certainly from like the fan base part of it, and the sniping back and forth that we've grown to love between Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans in this rivalry of, you better get out of the regional if you're Vanderbilt.
Oh, no doubt. Well, think about, so first of all, I mean, the hate watching for both sides will be intense. They're
Oh,
going to
yeah.
cheer on their own teams, but the hate watching will be intense. I mean, look, Vanderbilt fans, I mean, man, I should go back and find the comments on, when Tennessee was the number one seed and they were the absolute dominant team in 2022, right? Vanderbilt, is on the road to the regionals. They lose in the finals, Oregon State, they're out. So they just have to sit there and just hope Tennessee blows it. Tennessee blows it.
Yep.
I wrote a column that was like, just keep doing what you're doing, Vols, it'll be fine. Because everybody hated them and said, oh, it's their lack of sportsmanship and all this stuff. And I mean, the Vanderbilt fans were so mad about the idea that this was anything but like, proof that like their brash style isn't going to work. So that hate watching was great for Vanderbilt fans. And then the next year, like I said earlier, Vanderbilt's the number six overall seed. They lose in the regional. Tennessee goes on the road, and they incredible win at Clemson, and they go win at Southern Miss and the Super Regional there, and they get to Omaha, and it's like, oh my God, this was supposed to be the other way around, you know? So, and then of course last year Vanderbilt fans have to watch them win the whole thing, and Tennessee fans are absolutely ready for Vanderbilt to not advance, not make it. Yeah, this is. I mean, you have to follow this up by at least getting to Omaha. You get to Omaha, and then to me, you know, you have officially said, you know, yes, this program is absolutely back among the elite programs in the sport, but you do have to do that.
Yep, no doubt about it. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Mike and Gallatin to the program. Mike, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good morning. So, as a Vanderbilt fan who's had six season tickets to, well, all the sports, but mainly baseball and football for the last decade, on the baseball side, I don't know if they really ever left. I just think that there's been some, the other teams have arrived. And like we talked about, that there's been, with the recruiting and the NIL changed things differently. But over the last like 3 to 4 years, for sure, that what we watched program wise, there was, injuries. That over the last few years kind of plagued the starting lineup for sure last year. A lot of our big power bats that we were going to have got hurt. We've had a top five, top 10 recruiting class every single year for as long as I can recall. And a lot of those got some of those guys foregoed attending
right.
And went straight to the draft. So again, it's just one of those things that, like, I don't know if we really ever left. I just think it was almost more that everybody else kind of arrived, and it's just nice to see another team that is as complete as this one can be. Because I think the pitching is what should be able to carry Vanderbilt further. I think we have three or four starters, and then the relievers to hold the fort down to play a long series. Whereas I saw in the SEC tournament, it almost kind of looked like that we got. Lucky with some of the draws that we got gassed pitching staff to some extent, being able to throw out our second or third starter versus their third or fourth was a good way to kind of play those matchups and a reward that we deserve. So I was really excited for the Vandy boys, hoping that we can continue this streak. But, man, this is what makes this college sport very fun because anything can happen.
Yep, no doubt about that. Mike, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Joe, I mean – you know Tim Corbin, right? Like he's always about kind of the next game and the next challenge, and certainly now that the postseason is here, that's where his mind is. But I have to think that somewhere deep down in there, the competitor that he is, Joe, that this is a pretty sweet moment for him because he hear all the noise. Like there was a lot of talk about, I mean, has the game passed Tim Corbin by? Like is he going to be able to actually compete in the NIL era and all this stuff? And to come out and get the number one overall seed, that's got to be on some level for him pretty gratifying.
I would think so. Although, also knowing him, you know, it's like
I was gonna say
he's the. It's like just okay. So today, what are we doing?
Right.
Wake up, and this is the. You know, he's so process oriented that. I mean, I hope so. Like, I hope he's taking a minute to be like. That's right, MFers, okay? But also he knows, just like you said, Robbie, that that like this is where you build legacies. This is the time of the year where the pressure's so high and it's so easy to be bounced and come up short. But yeah, I mean, this has got to be a somewhat gratifying year for him, I would think. And yes, the game pass, but again, I think that's a lot about not building teams like Tennessee obviously has built a team for that ballpark too, right?
Right.
Lots of power over the years and maybe not having enough power, but like the caller said, he has had some who got hurt, who went to the bigs, et cetera, et cetera. And, you got Johnston in here this year and you can see it. That's a big kid who is going to hit a lot of home runs for Vanderbilt.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on Vanderbilt, their run to being the number one overall seed heading into the NCAA tournament. More of your thoughts to get to on that. Plus, a story in college sports that we really need to get Rex Rhodes' thoughts on from last week as well, and how that could change the way that college sports operate. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com /getitall. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, Zakai Ziegler, while you were gone last week, suing the NCAA for a fifth year of eligibility, says the 5-year eligibility window where you get 4 seasons is, quote, an unlawful restraint of trade under federal and state antitrust law. So, Joe, it's not necessarily a surprise that this has happened. We've talked about this, that this was going to come from somebody at some point, and Zakai Ziegler is the person. Now, we talked last week with Kuharski. You know, Diego Pavia did this and got another year of eligibility at Vanderbilt. His was a different situation coming from junior college, so it's not exactly apples to apples here. But Ziegler has done this. We'll see what this ultimately ends up looking like and how this shakes out. But what do you make of his lawsuit against the NCAA? And if it goes through and he's awarded a fifth year of eligibility at the end of all this, what does that do for college sports in your mind?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, I'm not surprised it happened. There was a little bit of chatter about this around the Vols during the NCAA tournament, but it was almost joking, like, hey, man, you know, sue them, you know, and give it a shot. But it makes sense to give it a shot. My initial thought was, this one, like you said, Diego Pavia, there's a different situation. The other cases that have worked in terms of eligibility, it's been because of, you know, again, like, why does JUCO count? There's been some other situations too where there were different circumstances. This is the first class after COVID, so it's the first class that doesn't automatically get that fifth year. And the thing is, Robbie, what's going to happen is they are going to get to the point where you're going to have 5 to play 5.
Yep.
I'm confident in that. So I get the question is there going to be this window of these athletes kind of getting squeezed where they didn't get the COVID year and they're not going to get the benefit of that and they're just going to be kind of SOL and have the 4 years like it has always been? Or are they just going to end up making it, you know, from COVID on, it's 5 to play 5? I don't know. My initial thought was, yeah, it's worth a shot. I doubt he wins it. I reached out to Mitt Winter. He's, you know, he's a guy who's very active on X, but also, you know, he's a college sports lawyer, and he thinks it's 50-50. So, wow. Okay, 50-50 sounds pretty, you know, potentially promising for Ziegler. So I guess I'm just not going to be surprised either way. You can definitely make the case, like, why do these guys, especially once we get to the point where they get to 5 to play 5, you know, why do these people here in the middle get hosed? And especially, you know, you talk about restraint of trade, that's what it all is. Why you're denying people the right to earn. And according to the lawsuit, you know, Ziegler could have made about $4 million or could make about $4 million this year, potentially. I think if I'm recalling, I don't have it up right now, but did it say he made $500K last year? Is that right?
I believe that's what it says.
Which I was like, man, that seems – I'm stunned that it was that low. I mean, he kind of got hosed last year, if that's the case. You know, like you would think that the way things are, an all-SEC record-breaking, all-time great defensive player point guard makes more than $1 million. In college sports today, so I would look.
Yeah, I'm seeing 500.
Sports.
Yeah.
That's he got screwed. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, I'm sorry, but like Zakai Ziegler last year should have made absolutely 7 figures. When you considering the other numbers that I've heard thrown around, and what some guys made last year, multiple millions of dollars for some players. I mean, he's not like a 20-point game first round pick. But that's ridiculous. And so, but again, that doesn't necessarily impact like the outcome of the lawsuit, but it's just really surprising. I'm also wondering why you're going, according to his lawyers, why are you going to $4 million this year then, if that's the case? You know, I mean, certainly you should be in the 7 figures, but I don't totally understand the idea of that jump. They did make the point in the lawsuit, you know, if you look at historically, is that last year is by far the most lucrative. Yep. I think in a lot of cases, it's because players get better and, you know, or sometimes because a player moves. That's why you see a lot of these 1 year moves for some of these players just because they get paid a ton. I mean, some of these guys who went to Kansas State and they just got the kid from Hagerty from Memphis. I know Kansas State has been throwing money around, and so it's like any job situation out there. It's like if you're willing to move, that's a lot of times how you make money is because you're willing to go here. And it's just like free agency in pro sports, right? You're going to get overpaid. But it's going to be fascinating. And I my initial thought of worth a shot, but probably not. I'm keep an open mind on any lawsuit, man, that involves the NCAA. Keep an open mind.
They don't have a great track record recently. Well, the idea of five to play five, so you got 5 years to play five seasons here. I'm really interested to see how people react to that because I'm with you. It's probably coming at some point here. And I don't think for like your bona fide stud first, second round picks in like the NFL or in college basketball, if you know that you're going to be a high first round pick, it's probably not changing the equation all that much in terms of how long you're staying there.
No.
But Ziegler's kind of like the perfect example, right? Of a guy that is probably not going to be an NBA player. I mean, he didn't even get invited to like, the pre-draft NBA stuff this year. And who knows, he may go on, whether it's now or even after another year of college basketball, to play professional ball overseas or something like that. But he's probably not going to be an NBA player. So, like, he's kind of like the perfect example of a guy that's a really, really good college player that probably doesn't have a future in the NBA. And, like, those type of guys having that fifth year could be very lucrative for them at the end of the year, or at the end of the day.
Yeah, and look, the case his lawyers have made and others have made too is I know some people are gonna, have a problem with five years of eligibility and all that. But when you look at average amount of time it takes for people to get a degree, that lines up with 5 years. Okay. Now Ziegler has his degree. He would be going toward a graduate degree, taking graduate classes. But I mean that's not crazy. To me. And also, when you talk about college sports, all the movement, all that stuff, I do think players like him, they are the good side of that, which is, I mean, you do have some of these guys who are going to stay around. And if you have that extra year, again, fan attachment to players, continuity and things like that. I mean, I think that's a positive for the sport to have guys like that. Pavia is another example. Pavia is not going to be an NFL quarterback. Ziegler's not going to be an NBA point guard, but my God, are they great college players and they're beloved by the fans.
Well, let me ask you this real quickly, Joe. Number one, let's say he gets through and he gets another year of eligibility. Is he 100% back at Tennessee, or does he shop around a little bit? And if he is back at Tennessee, how good are they going to be next year?
No, that's absolutely that's the thing too, is he could end up maximizing. He could go out there on the market and someone could go. It's hard for me to believe that he's not going to come back with Rick Barnes. I think their relationship is 100% real, and there's so much appreciation. And I mean, again, Rick Barnes, found him early. Now he would have been found eventually, but Rick Barnes found him and gave him a chance. So I think he would be back at Tennessee. But you know what? It makes sense to be out there. And like Gunnar on the text line is like, well, Vols couldn't afford it. All that money was going to Nico. I mean, maybe there is a little bit of truth to, sorry guys, like football's got to have X amount. So like you guys have got to pay. Well, if Ziegler does get this, Tennessee better ante up here, man. I mean, like you, this is like a lifetime achievement award. I mean, all that kid did for the program, he better make a few million next year. And again, like you said, I mean, you're not making that in Europe, and that's what his alternative is. And I'm sure he'll play pro ball for a while whenever he's done. But like, it's life money that he has a chance to make here.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. A lot of Titans fans looking around all the time and wondering, like, hey, where's the love for the Titans? Where's the love for Cam Ward? Well, boy, did we find some over the weekend. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.